speaking on this program is Brother Gary Cawley.
I began a study with you last Lord's Day from the first chapter of the book of Philippians. Reading verses 8 through 11, it says, "For God is my record, how greatly I long after you in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God." These are verses, of course, very stirring to our thinking because the Apostle Paul writes them by inspiration to those whom he so dearly loved in the Philippian church. We've learned thus far that sincerity is fundamental to every virtue of religion. It's absolutely essential to a right relationship with God. Without it, we cannot please Him. You know what is said in Hebrews 11:6, "For without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh unto God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek after Him." Sincere is a very important word to us. Sincerely or sincerity, all of these words mean to be shown in the sunlight or to judge in the sunlight. In other words, there are no hidden sections here. There is nothing that man is hiding from another. But the moment that we live in sincerity, we must live in truth, in harmony with the will of God. We must love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength, Matthew 22:37. And as we do so, my friends, this implies that perhaps some will not do that. They will not love the Lord as they should. I'm sure you must have seen the bumper sticker some time back that said, "If you love Jesus, blow your horn or honk." Well, that's not the way you show your love for the Lord, my friends. Not at all. It is true that Jesus said, "If you love me, ye will keep my commandments." He is talking, of course, to people in this Romans 12:9, for instance, saying, "Let love be without dissimulation," or without hypocrisy. He is wanting us to say, be genuine in your love. Do not let it drift into that which is just pretense. And we must never lay our hands on a person's shoulder and say, "I love you, brother," while stabbing him at the same time in the back on the other hand. You know, in fact, we can't be sincere about our love for one another, even by just refusing to do him evil, can we? Genuine love is expressed in doing him good. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1:22, "Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned or unpretended love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently." Now that's the Christian way, isn't it? It's the best way. Wouldn't it be great if we had more fervent, unpretended love from pure hearts in those toward one another? The Bible also teaches us that we must be sincere about our worship. You know, Jesus spoke of those people in His days who worshipped Him with their lips, but He said their hearts were far from Him, Matthew 15:7-8. He said by teaching for their doctrines the commandments of men, instead of the doctrines and commandments of God, that they had rendered the Word of God void and their worship vain. In other words, they were going through the motions of worship, but it didn't have any meaning to it. Jesus told the woman at the well that true worship, must consist of two essentials, that is, in spirit and in truth, John 4:24. So here are two foundation stones upon which all successful worship must be laid. The man who worships in truth and yet does not worship with a proper attitude does not worship God correctly. Yet the man who thinks he has a right attitude but will not worship in harmony with truth, he doesn't have the right thoughts toward God either. He is insincere. Well, in the absence of either of these, worship is meaningless, isn't it? The worshiper is not built up, and God is not glorified. No, he's made a show in the flesh, according to will worship, but it does not please God. Now, the truth part of it is, in doing it the way the Lord says, we're right, and failing to do it the way the Lord says, we're wrong. Paul, no doubt, wanted these brethren at Philippi to grow in knowledge and in all judgment, that they might approve the things that are excellent. You know, the truth is, doing the Lord's way is very simple, and yet it is not always in harmony with what men want to do. Some people don't think this is important. They say, what difference does it make what we do? Nothing really matters in religion as long as the heart is right. And others don't see the importance of offering their worship with the right spirit. Well, if you'll notice, my friends, when you're reading your Bible, as in 1 Corinthians 5:8, there's a very close relationship between sincerity and truth. The world also needs to see more sincerity in our preaching, doesn't it? In this same chapter, verse 16, that we have taken for our text in Philippians 1, Paul wrote his Christian friends at Philippi, and he said, some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add afflictions to my bonds. Did you see the word sincerely there again? You know, if I'd said that, you might have thought I was being censorious or jealous. You might have even thought that I was being cruel or unkind, but these are the words of the Holy Spirit, my friends, through the pen of a great gospel preacher, an apostle of Jesus Christ, Paul himself. And though they were written more than 1,900 years ago, they are as timely today as they were when you read them in your newspaper or in your Bible. So, as we talk about these things, we preachers need to guard against wrong motives in preaching, don't we? In the same book, chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, Paul continues, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now even tell you weeping, that they're enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. Well, that's a very apt description of which the preachers of today might be found wanting, don't you guess? Well, Paul, in his prayer for the church at Philippi, with such which we began this program and which we continue our study, that would be an appropriate prayer for the church today, wouldn't it? I pray, he said, number one, that your love may abound more and more. Number two, that you may approve the things that are excellent. Number three, that you may be sincere and without offense. And number four, that you may be filled with the fruits of righteousness. Well, let's not fall into the mistaken notion, my friends, that sincerity alone is sufficient for salvation. Though the Bible teaches us, without a doubt, we are to be sincere, and that without sincerity we can't be what we ought to be. Many have been and are sincere who have been sincerely mistaken in the direction they have taken in life. That's the reason for these programs, partially. We're trying to help those who may be mistaken in life to see the difference in what they may be doing today and what the Bible actually teaches. I suppose there's no better example of that than Saul of Tarsus himself, who verily thought that he ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus, which things he also did. You recall in Acts 26, verse 9 and 10. He persecuted the church of Christ. There are still those who do the same. And he lived in all good conscience, he said, while doing it. Acts 23 and verse 1. That's because his moral judgment had not been trained, and therefore when he did those things that were wrong, he not knowing better, his conscience didn't bother him. He said, I did all things in good conscience unto this day. Yet he also later said, he was the chief among sinners, 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15. And he furthermore said that he was lost until the Lord, through his grace and his mercy, gave him the gospel by which he could see the difference and do that which was right in the sight of God. Well, is sincerity important? Very vitally important, isn't it? It's even essential to acceptable, meaningful religion and worship and service unto God. But it isn't the only essential. If we're sincere about our relationship with the Lord, why, we'll hasten to follow His teaching in seeking our forgiveness and a new start, will we not? We'll get our lives turned around in repentance. We'll come unto Christ. Hearing His word, we'll believe it. We'll repent of the sins of our life and confess His name before men as He commanded. We'll be buried with Him in baptism to wash away our sins as we call in this manner on the name of the Lord. It is said in Galatians 3:26-27, for we are all made the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, bond or free, male nor female, but we're all one man in Christ, and if we be Christ, if we belong to Him, then are we Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So if we get our lives turned around by repentance and confession and baptism to live as God's children until He calls us home in all sincerity, then what a joyous day it will be. You know, there was a musician one time, and he was following one of his performances. He wept while a huge audience applauded. But one man very noticeably did not applaud. And when he was asked why he was so affected by this man's performance as a musician, the man's refusal to applaud, he cried and said, "I am his teacher." Well, he will be our sorrow if we come before him in the last day insincere. He will be our teacher, but in sorrow he will reject us. It will be to our sorrow, too, if by pretense, hypocrisy, and deceit, we manage to draw the approval of the whole world, but we fail to gain the approval of the Master. Jesus said, "Fear not them that are able to kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell." And you remember in John 12, verse 42-43, that many of the rulers believed upon the Lord, but because of the Pharisees they would not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved, are you hearing this? They loved the glory of men more than the glory of God. So this is a very tragic, dangerous thing, to be pretending, hypocrisy, deceit about our religion. Oh, I know, we think the world doesn't know that we're not sincere, but the God of heaven knows, and we shall stand before Him either to be approved or to be denied in the great day of judgment. And it's certain we'll never gain His favor by saying one thing and doing something else, will we? By acting out one life and living another, we're just actors. We're just pretenders. We're just hypocrites. And we'll have problems with the person we see in the mirror every morning, won't we? As long as we know that our life is a mere charade. You know, it's impossible, my friends, to build solid social and business relationships while putting on a front without the quality of genuineness. Don't you, as a Christian, want to be genuine? If you can depend on my being what I seem to be, or I you, then we have nothing on which to interact or to build unless those things are sincere. Now, churches of Christ are committed to the idea of building the church which Jesus built in the New Testament. We don't want anything different from that which you read in the New Testament. We are sincere in our desires to do that. And we believe that all men ought to be sincere also. We see nothing impossible or impractical or undesirable about establishing the church in harmony with the Word of God.